Let's talk psychic mediums and the metaphysical. Welcome to Two Girls with Grief podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Rachel.
The podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears or there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals, we're just professional grievers. This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want support, those dealing with grief, and those who just want to learn. In this episode, we talk about everything about psychic mediums and the metaphysical. For any potential triggers, please check the episode show notes prior to listening.
So as we start every episode, Rachel, what are your credentials for talking about psychic mediums and the metaphysical?
So I'm actually pretty excited about this episode because I have been to a psychic medium, I think, three, maybe four times.
Wow.
And I actually had a positive experience about it. So, and I'll talk more about it in the episode, but I have been three times. I've also have seen ghosts and things.
Tea.
I feel like I've seen some things. So what about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I'm not quite as experienced in this, but I am excited. I've always been super into ghost and kind of like creepier things and a little bit more of the morbidity part of the stuff. So I've had more experiences with dreams and other people's experiences with the metaphysical and me relating to that. But I would say personally for me, I have not seen a ghost in person, but not yet. There's always time.
There's always time. Or maybe you have and you just didn't realize
it. Didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know. So this episode, I would say it possibly might be a little less heavy. We wanted to kind of talk about a little lighter topic. But I feel like also I may cry talking about my psychic medium experience. So
sure.
You know, we'll see TBD on if it actually is a little bit lighter. But I think because it's kind of that otherworldly mystical thing,
yeah,
it feels a little less heavy, at least on paper, but we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's a nice mix that we're kind of throwing this one in here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we talk about this stuff, I think people immediately go into the spooky and the creepy. But I think what's often left out of that conversation is where people find closure and healing in those conversations and those experiences. So do you want to share your experience? We could dive into that.
Yeah. So actually, there's someone, I think it's like the Rhode Island, Long Island medium or something. So I've watched her show a bunch and I might have even watched her show before anyone passed away. But I still was like very skeptical because you always just hear just scammers and,
right,
you know, it's also like a very sensitive thing that you could like speak to the other side. So I've always been skeptical, but also I've always wanted it to be true at the same time. I've said I've seen experience like ghosts and things. So I've always wanted it to be true, but I was very skeptical. And also like at the time I went, I had already lost everyone. I've lost everyone. And so my brother actually went first, and then I think it was for like a Christmas gift, he actually booked me a session with this guy. But when he did, like, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know like what research my brother did. I didn't know anything like that. And I was bugging the crap out of him to be like, because he had a really good session, so he booked one for me.
Yeah.
But I was like, why did you believe him? Like, what did he say? Like, give me an example of something that he said. I was very much like, I just bold, like, tell me, like, I need a proof of something that will make me believe him. Like, what made you believe him? Like, I need to go into this feeling like it is true. And I was so skeptical. I was like, I don't know about this. And my brother just kept saying, like, it was good. Don't worry about it. Just go. I can't remember, like, anything specific. And I'm like, well, that doesn't help me comfortable. And you're like, I don't remember. And I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. But I was so skeptical also because it's like, yeah, it's very sensitive. So I wasn't, you know, I didn't really want to also have hope of it being good in a way, you know, because like, what if you're let down? But as soon as I like knocked on the door and the guy opened the door, I immediately felt like goosebumps. Like the hair on my arms and like my neck were like standing up. Like I immediately felt a shift in just the environment as soon as I walked in. So I was like, As soon as I'm like, I feel like this is real from just my like body response to being in here. And so I immediately like, I was like, okay, I think this is real. I'm going to be more open-minded. Just like kind of had that feeling. And he literally, when I sat down, he does some like birthday stuff or whatever. Like he asked your birthday and a few things, but he immediately kind of busted out stuff that like no one would know. My brother didn't know. It's not on social media. I don't know, like, there's still people to this day that, like, know me that probably don't know my mom passed away. Because by the time it got to my mom, I just, like, I don't want to post anywhere. I don't want to do anything. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that still don't know my mom's passed away because I just, like, haven't talked about it publicly. So there was nowhere for him to find. There's nowhere to, like, Google it. And he couldn't have, like, asked my brother about it either to, like, say anything, you know, so he couldn't like there was just no way that he could know this information. It was the first time for anything. And he had talked about, because basically the last time I saw my mom, she's in the Philippines, so she went back there and she was already sick. Like she really was not doing well. She looked really sick, did not look great. So I was there for a few weeks and I was just helping her, you know, like taking care of her, you know, helping her do everything because she was you know, just not good. Like she just was not in a good space. And so I didn't want to leave, but I was interviewing for a job and my mom wanted me to go. And I was like, I don't want to leave, you know, but it was really hard to like complete the interview away. And then I had to like go for the in person and I really didn't want to go, but she just kept pushing me like, you need to go. And I think she didn't want me to like go through like seeing her and, you know, pass away and all that stuff. But so she didn't want me there anymore for that. Because she also tried to protect us from, like, finding out for a while, too. And so it was just one of the things, like, I felt like it was the last time I was going to see her. And it was. And so there was just, like, weird feelings with that, right? Like, oh, you left and whatever. And he basically said all of that. And, like, he said that my mom wanted me to go. She didn't want me to go through that. And that she's happy that I left and all this stuff. And, like, He just kind of like went hard on all of that and just said, like, you know, it's what my mom wanted. She wanted me to be okay. She didn't want my aunt to like take on more than I already had with like my dad and my sister. So it was just like, I just remember like it was like instant tears. Like, because there's like stuff that like, there's no way that he would have known that or like he could have found out. And I just remember like, oh my God, like I was like, okay, he's real. Is no, and it's like, it was like the instant thing I feel like I also needed to hear, you know, because it's like, did really get a talk start at the end. So it's like, it was like a big sigh of relief, but also like really, it's like weird, but interesting feeling of like really getting a message from your mom from the other side and kind of like the message that you needed. But because, like, there literally was no way for him to know that information, I was like, oh, shit. And he, like, the details are just too spot on that it's, like, unless my mom was actually there, like, there's no other person that could know it. So it was, I went, like, two more times, and I got, like, a lot of messages from my sister, and he told me stuff like my messages around frequently, and he told me that I could, she likes reading, so, like, you can write notes to her, so after he told me that, I made personalized journals for her best friends and her ex-boyfriend. And I think maybe for my brother and my cousin, too, because he said that, like, she likes it when you write to her. So I, like, made these, like, personal journals for them and I gave them to everybody. And so I'm hoping that people have been writing it into them and my sister is enjoying reading it. So it's been an interesting experience, but I definitely recommend if you have any kind of lingering things to find a good one, find a real one. Because it wasn't cheap either, but it's definitely worth it when you feel like you do need some kind of closure on things. It definitely was worth it to me. So they check out, but also be very, very careful. Like, be very, you know, do your due diligence, you know, research people, do all of that before you commit to anyone. But it definitely was a very interesting experience. And I honestly did feel like that kind of, there are spirits around. Like, it just was kind of an interesting feeling on there. But yeah, it definitely I would recommend it for people just to try it, just to test the waters.
Yeah. And I think, like, you bring in a great point of, like, when you don't have closure for loss, and it's like that could really hinder you in a lot of different aspects of your life if you don't have that closure in some form. I think that's why I've never felt prompted to go in and seek out a medium with my own experience with my dad, just in regard to I had a long time with him prior to his passing to kind of say all the things I wanted to say. I felt like I had closure, and I do acknowledge, like, a lot of people don't have that opportunity the way I did, and I'm very blessed in that regard. But it does make me curious to think, like, what would he say now? Like, you know, because I'm always curious, like, am I doing the right thing for myself? Am I doing the right thing for my brother and sister? Would he be proud of the amount of, like, progress I've made in the past 4 years? But, you know, like, I am so curious. And, like, even just your story alone, like, you have me sold. It's like, I would try that experience.
I definitely recommend it. I mean, maybe one time you have to book it, like, way in advance, but maybe we could even, like, even book one session with him together in the future and just go and just see what happens. I mean, it's interesting because even stuff with my sister, he just, like, he basically says my sister's, like, very, very active, like, very, she's someone that, like, she's kind of sticking around. She likes being with everybody in, like, the sense that she can. And he's explained it the same way that I've read it in some books of, like, time moves differently for them. So it's like she's not sad. She's not, you know, replaced. It's like she's still around, and time is just in a different, wherever it is, it's like it's different. It doesn't feel like a long time that she's away.
Yeah.
Which I think is also nice to think about, that, like, even though they're gone and don't know where they are, like, they're still somewhere around us and watching and involved in some ways. So I'm glad I'm glad to know that you consider it. We should try it one time and see.
For sure. The outcome. Yeah. Have you ever watched the Haunting of Hill House series?
Is that the one that's really spooky that was on Netflix?
Yeah, it is. It is, like, intentionally scary show. Yes.
Yes, I have watched that one. And it does. That was a really good show. But, like, the neck breaking.
Yeah. No, that's traumatizing. That
does
for sure.
That does things to me. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that has stuck with me in a weird way ever since. But I watched that series, I think, literally, like, I don't know, a week or two after my dad passed.
Oh, wow. My best. Went there.
Oh, yeah. I really leaned into it. In fact, I leaned into grief in a lot of weird ways.
You went dark.
Well, I love scary movies. I have two friends who also love scary movies. So that's, like, our thing, is we like to watch scary things. And so my best friend loves the series. Anybody she can convince to watch it, she'll sit down, watch the 10-hour series all over again with that person, because she just loves it that much. I don't think she loves the series, and she knew it was kind of, like, obviously there's a lot of death in it, like, but each of the siblings represents a stage of grief and how they're responding to the loss of, I think, their mother after this whole situation. But at the very end, like, it's a quote that has stuck with me, because truly the message towards the end of the show is really sweet on how, like, how does a family come together after monumental loss like this? I think, like, the quote is, like, time is like confetti, and that has always stuck with me in, like, a really sweet way, in that it's all these happy moments that are happening, and it's not linear in the way that, like, you and I are processing life day to day, day in and day out, but, like, for spirits, it's happening in, like, confetti falling from the sky. And I was like, oh my God, that's, like, so beautiful. I don't know if that's true or anything. I'm going to admit I'm not a psychic medium or anything. I don't claim to be, but I like that thought of, like, just happy memories, like, floating around and, like, coming in and out of, like, life in that sense.
I'll admit that I don't remember any happy ending from that show. Like, and maybe I was so speaked out.
Everybody.
I did not walk away with a positive message from that show. I don't remember that at all.
I found it oddly healing. Like, I agree. It's very dark and there's a lot of death. Like, it's a whole show focused around death.
Yeah.
But the ending, I was like, all these children, all the children now that they're like grown up.
Yeah.
They kind of had this new appreciation for like the trauma their family experienced and how are they going to move through that together rather than before they were all separated. And there was a lot of like issues. But then at the end, like, yes, there is even more death, but but like more for the siblings. Yes. And then, like, I don't know. There's just some little sweet moments in the show where I'm just like, it was really, it's leaning into the dark, which that's a whole another episode is like, does leaning into the dark help or does it harm? I don't know. But for myself, I found it really helpful in a weird way. Like another thing, Frozen 2 also had me talk about leaning into the dark. Like when Anna loses her sister, I'm weeping. And for some reason, it was healing to my grief.
I like have watched both of those things. I feel like I need to rewatch them because I don't remember like those. I don't even remember the sister separating in that
movie. Yeah, when what's the Elsa, the ice princess one? She like goes into the unknown and Anna. She gets
finds
Anna
her,
gets
like,
a
true
sign.
Family.
Yeah. Well, and then Anna's like gets a sign or like things start melting, and so she's like, she must have died in the unknown. And like she sings a song like One Step Forward at a Time, and that song has carried me through my grief in a weird way.
I feel like I need to maybe I don't know if I blacked out from that part because I have lost my sister. I don't know.
Sure. I can maybe the movie would be so hard to watch at your shoes.
I don't know. And it's funny because I also watched The Haunting and I don't remember the positive. I don't remember ending on like positive notes either.
You definitely lean into a lot of the bad before you get to the good.
I think I need to rewatch these things because I don't have any memory of those events. I do remember them separating, but I don't even remember that song. And I mean, I probably watched it. It probably made me cry. I don't know. I don't even remember it. I just blacked out.
Yes. Yeah, probably for very good reason. Like any sane person would.
Yeah, it's one of those things like Grey's Anatomy. I used to love Grey's Anatomy more so before they killed off Derek. And I still watch it every so often. And I still watch like, I think it's like Chicago Med sometimes. And sometimes I watch these shows and I'm like, why am I watching these shows? You know, because it's sometimes you're watching and like all of a sudden something feels familiar and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Why am I watching this? It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, is it okay? I don't know. But then at the same time, I don't also want to be someone that is triggered by all these sort of things or that like it prevents me from doing things that I enjoy, which includes watching medical shows. I spent a ton of time in the hospitals watching my family pass away or just do hospital visits and medical issues. I feel like it's one thing where I kind of had to challenge myself, like, it's okay, you can still enjoy these shows even if there's too much closeness sometimes. I don't want that to be taken away from me, so I still do watch them pretty frequently, although I do feel differently about Grey's Anatomy now that like all of my favorite people are gone anyway. But that's a separate, that's not really medical, just
that's for a separate podcast.
The romance part, yeah, just that's separate.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up about hospitals because the last time I had been, well, I had my appendix taken out in 2023, like New Year's Day.
Oh, wow.
New Year's night, 2023. It was like New Year's Eve. It was so weird. But the last time I had been in a hospital before that was like, oh, my dad's stuff. And it was weird to go into the hospital for like me and my problem and then hearing like the beeps from the machine. I don't like those beeps either, but it was like crazy that those beeps on the machine, like it was like PTSD. I was like, oh my gosh, I just remember them beeping all night long and you can't like scrub that from your brain.
No, I mean, I feel like the worst of it was when my sister was, she was in a coma for, I think it was like 10 or 11 days. Mm-hmm. And we rotated like sleeping in the hospital with her. And the only thing we slept on were like two chairs, so like pushed together. So you weren't sleeping also because they like come in all the time. So all you hear was like beeping, people coming in and out. And so, yeah, all the like the noises, you're just like, it's not a comfortable place to be. Just not a fan of hospitals in general.
Talk about another place where time doesn't like really exist anymore. Yeah.
There's not enough windows in there for sure.
No. You're like, is it morning or is it night? I don't like, it's just fluorescence all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it took until I think my sister got transferred to like a physical therapy unit because she had to like a rehabilitation unit. And that, I think it's the first time she had like a window. That was like that was like 3 months in or something. Like, it was crazy. It was like, oh, we finally get like sunshine and a nice space. So yeah, it really does make you feel like you're in the twilight zone of just repeat hospital.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the days go by. Didn't see any ghosts there though, which is another thing we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Was, have you ever seen any ghosts or spirit? Like, have you, well, you said you haven't seen any of your family or ghosts, right?
No, none of my family in particular. And let me tell you, I am someone who is like wanting that to happen, to say in a weird way. Like, I think it'll be jarring if I had that confrontation, but I'm someone who's not like trying to negate that experience. But no, I have not seen any family members yet. I have, though. I'll have some strange experiences, and I don't know if this is like ghostly or like doppelganger type, but I'll see people that like look like my dad in random places. Like, I remember I was on getting off a flight. I'm inside the airplane and like there's a man a couple people ahead of me, and I could have sworn to you, I was like, that's my dad. And like I just kept staring at him being like, is my dad alive still? Did he like start a new life somewhere? Like, it was just so surreal. The more I was like piercing into this man, the more I realized, oh, that's not really my dad. Like, there's not the same demeanors, but he looked so damn close to him. It was so odd.
That's crazy. I wonder if there is like a ghostly thing, or somehow your dad is like kind of masking or something.
Yeah,
we'll never know until you go to the psychic medium.
Right,
we'll never know.
Hey, Rachel needs needs commission for selling psychic mediums on our podcast.
I know. Headslots, psychic mediums. Please sponsor us, and we'll push you out to the audience.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I definitely think you should do your work. Do your diligence. Yeah. Don't just sign up for anybody. But I actually have seen ghosts. I actually saw ghosts growing up that weren't family. Like, growing up. And I remember even, like, one of my houses growing up, like, I remember the door would open and I would be so scared that I slept with, like, my parents growing up, like, when I was young. And, like, I just remember this lady with, like, an apron came in into the room and, like, was just floating. And I just remember seeing ghosts, like, wasn't any family member. I don't know, like, the reasoning for that. But and I actually also saw another house we moved into where there was like more ghost activity. I actually saw my grandma, like my parents, I used to like take baths in their like master bathroom, and then there was a closet and the door was open, and I swear I saw like my grandma in the closet, like her face in the closet. And I told my mom because I freaked out and ran out of the bathroom, and then my mom went into the closet and she found my grandma's fur jacket that she had been looking for in the closet. And she had been looking for it like crazy and couldn't find it. And then after I told her that I saw her in the closet, she found it. So, like, I don't know if that's related or not, but definitely saw some spookiness there. But I never talked to her or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I just saw her. I also saw a nun walking down our hallway in that same house.
Okay, terrifying. Which was crazy. What was your house?
I honestly think it was like, it was up in the hills of San Jose. I feel like there might have been like missionary, I don't know, like something something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, did you live in an old church?
Maybe it was definitely, that house is definitely spooky. And when we were moving out, I remember I just saw someone, like a black figure, walking down the hallway. And in my head, it had to be my sister, because she was wearing a black jacket. And we were like moving out, so there's no one in the house. So I remember I ran down the hallway and I was calling her. I was like, Lori, Lori. And like, no response. And they turned into the bathroom. And so I ran to the bathroom and there was no one there. And I immediately
gasped,
like screamed. And I was like, Lori. And she opened the backyard door and was like, what? She's like, what? And I was like, oh my God. It was just weird timing. But then when I like thought about like what I actually saw, it looked like a nun just walking down the hallway.
Weird.
It was very clear and very spooky. But on family notes, I wish that I have had more like ghost appearances or something. I mean, when my grandma died, the same one I saw in the closet, the night she passed away, I don't know if I told you, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but my uncle, like in his dreams, they danced.
Oh,
like
yes.
They slow danced. And I think they talked, and like, I just remember that was like kind of the standard that I set of what would happen if any family members passed away, that like they'd visit me the night they passed away and we would have a conversation. Like that's what or like have a moment. And that's what I expected. And that never happened.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know.
The dream aspect is totally, I hear more about the dreams that people have than maybe their like waking day experiences. Because I was like the same way. I thought, like, I hope these aren't secrets, but like my aunt had told me when, after my father had passed, so his sister, she said that when their father had passed, that she had dreams every night for a year. And she would just sit on a bench and talk to her dad in her dreams. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh, I know. And I was like expecting that to happen to me. Did not happen to me. My uncle, my dad's brother, said he didn't have any dreams of his dad until I think around the time, or like maybe he did have dreams of his dad, but it was like his dad's back was always towards him and he couldn't catch up to his dad. And then I think sometime around 9/11, just with all the stress and like the emotional state of like the country and everybody was in, he said that's finally when his dad turned towards him. And he's like, I have not had a dream of my dad ever since. But he was like, it felt like my uncle had finally like got over this hump of forgiveness towards his dad, probably. That's what he thinks. And that something around the emotional state of that time period, like something was resolved there. And I haven't had like too many dreams of like my own dad. Usually it's kind of like normal doing whatever and then my dad just might be there. But I haven't had like dreams where he's like, I miss you or I'm proud of you, like nothing where I feel like it's in direct conversation with me, like a sign or anything. I do have like, I call them like more of an anxiety dream, but just like around death itself. And I think like the very first time I had a dream with my dad in it, it was very much like my own fear around death. And so I sometimes get those, but I don't think it's necessarily like my father connecting with me per se through dreams. It's more of like me in my mind trying to comprehend death and kind of that huge ambiguous topic that happens to humans. But that's like the extent of dream world for me and my family.
I feel like I don't feel like I've had many dreams with my dad for whatever reason. I don't know. And I don't think I asked the second meeting. My sister definitely has been more active in my dreams.
Oh,
my mom still, she's been she's kind of like the dreams I've had. She's like there, but she doesn't talk. I feel like the psychic medium said that it was because I was mad at her. Like she wasn't ready to talk to me. And maybe she felt bad too for like, she wasn't ready to speak to me. So I don't think I've still had a dream where she's really talked to me much. She just like, it was always like my sister's talking to me and she's there not speaking to me. Ironically, maybe not even ironically, the first thing that she had said to me in a dream that I remember for her telling me like, you need to work out and like lose weight, which was like
classic mom.
Yeah. And it was so funny because yes, I think it was like the wake up call. I kind of like, I didn't think about it. I mean, it's like, I don't know if I've said it already, but like, I definitely ate my feelings, especially when my sister passed away. With my sister and mom, I definitely gained a good amount of weight through them both passing because it's just like, it's easy to reward yourself with a brownie for sure. Or pizookie or whatever the heck when you're like, okay,
you're depressed.
Yeah, you're like, I need to eat something. Like, of course, yeah. I deserve whatever the hell I want with yeah. food. So don't do that. And so it was just funny because also the last time I saw her in person in real life, like I think I had gained a good amount of weight from like seeing my sister passing away and then like her being yeah. sick, like, you know, just eating
just
my
all
feelings.
That stress.
And yeah. she actually, that was something that like she was not doing well at all, like barely even talking to me when I saw her. And she still told me at the time, like, oh, this is the biggest I've ever, like, she told me, like, you need to, like, make, like, check yourself, like, get, you know, get back in shape, like, take care of yourself. And it's just funny because that's so, like, my mom, and if you have, like, Filipino moms, and she actually was not, like, she was not, like, someone that's, like, very, that was, like, super hypercritical, but I think, you know, it's, like, when you did need a check, she would say something, and definitely wouldn't check. But I was definitely not able to recuperate that. Like, after she passed away, it definitely took time for me to even get back into like working out and being healthy and bounce yeah. back into that mentality. But yeah, it's funny that like that's what she said to me. But I'm like, that is very much my mom. Like she would find yeah. a way that the first thing she says to me in a dream is that. Like, wow, thanks, mom. But it's like, I'm like, it feels like she's still here. she can still say that. But I feel
like I know that's my mom. That's exactly
yeah,
what she's
like,
saying.
I know that's my mom. But my sister, I feel like I've had a lot of dreams where we just like hang out and kind of do sisterly aww. Things. Yeah. I have been times where, like, I feel like when I've missed her a ton, I remember, like, there's been a few times where, like, she's hugged me. And I kind of, like, wake up feeling that hug.
Yeah.
And then I just remember, like, crying. Because it's, like, as soon as I woke up, it's, like, because I could, like, feel the hug still when I woke up.
Yeah, like, it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it is one of those times, like, it like, ebbs and flows, but it's, like, I always miss her, but there's sometimes it just feels worse, and
yeah,
definitely one of those where it's, like, okay, I could feel the hug, and so I feel like she really shows up in her ghostly form or whatever, so I do feel like she's listening, because I know, like, it's, like, I'm really sad, like, she's somehow there,
yeah,
but so she's definitely the most active, I'd say, for that. But yeah, for some reason, my dad hasn't really been in any dreams, and my mom, yeah, that's the only thing she said to me. But I would love to have, like, conversations with them in my dreams that I know some people can, like your aunt. Like,
yeah.
My friend, actually one of my friends, I don't know if I mentioned this before on the podcast, but one of my friends, we went to high school together. We weren't friends. Like, we weren't, like, not friends, but we just, like, weren't in the same group. Like, I don't remember ever speaking to her. Really, I don't like have any memories of her, but she also lived in San Francisco, like, after college, and so I just, like, we had followed each other on Instagram, so I just messaged her, like, do you want to grab a drink, you know, like, looking to hang, like, find more friends in San Francisco, and we ended up just, like, getting along really well, and, like, we're still really good friends now. As soon as we started becoming good friends, my sister started visiting her in her dreams and kind of sending her messages because she's a lot more sensitive to that. And so it's, like, interesting because my sister will visit her and, like, she'll kind of send me messages through her because she can actually, like, talk to her in her dreams.
Uh-huh.
And even when I, like, went this year, I went to go visit her for an early birthday trip for me. I went to go visit her because she moved to North Carolina. And my sister visited her around that time, too. So it's, like, whenever I'm around her, my sister knows and she'll, like, go visit her and, like, send her a message. So it's very interesting because it really only happens when, like, when we're hanging out or gonna see each other.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I wish I had more of that, like, attunement to that other side. And I'm sure it's also weird. I'm sure people who actually have that sensitivity, they're like, no, I hate it, it's actually crazy. Yeah. But I don't know, I would be like, I'm so curious about it too, about like, so I have so many questions, and I that's like, yeah, a whole other conversation of like, how do we interpret life after death type of thing. But yeah, that's so fascinating.
Yeah, I always think about that, and it's just crazy how active my sister is with that. And the only thing, yeah, is my dad. My daddy always joked that, like, when he passed away, he'd, like, pull our toes,
uh-huh,
in our sleep. And so, like, I will not sleep with my toes outside of my blanket. No matter, yeah, how hot it is.
And even I bet it's alarming.
Even if I stick, like, my leg out, like, you know, sometimes you, like, I don't know if you ever do, like, the one leg in, one leg out.
Yeah.
For like when you're hot, I will still shove my foot back under something. Like, I will never have my toes out. Because my, and I don't know that my dad's ever actually done that to me, but I always think of it, and I will hide my toes. Like, my toes will, yeah, not be out when I'm sleeping. And he's passed, yeah, away 10 years, and my toes have
There's
not been out.
There's been no
since.
Toe pulling since, huh?
Nope. No toes out. Like, he's been gone, and toes are in. Like, I will not put those pulls out. I don't know if he's actually going to do it. I don't know if he has enough spirity power. I don't know how that works, but my toes.
What's your spirity strength?
Yeah, I don't know, but my toes are inside. I will not take that risk. So,
no, but, I totally get that.
Yeah, so I don't know. So beyond, we've talked about actually seeing them and dreams, but do you believe in signs from them, or do you actually see any signs? Like, have you experienced any signs from them?
Yeah, I don't know. I bet some of this is me wanting to see, kind of like see my father and things, but really right after, and probably that first year after, I felt like I saw him, or like his like energy, or like letters on signs, or like names of things. I'd be like, that's a little too coincidental. And it's probably just like, if I'm trying to be logical, like my own projection into it. But also it's like, I never noticed like this thing that I've seen every day on my drive to work. And then now it's changed, and it's something eerily close to like something with my dad. So like, I find it comforting and like a reminder for whatever reason to acknowledge those signs, just for like my own sake, being like, and I also have like my own personal like kind of view on things. There's like a little thing of like, there's all this interconnectedness with the world, and so kind of like ripple effects of people's lives and energies. I wonder if it just kind of like trickles and bounces into other parts of the world and other people's lives. So like, I remember probably a couple years after my dad died, I went into a bookstore, and there was this little older man. He wasn't little. He was very tall. He looked like my dad, but he was like British. And for some reason, that was just like really assuring to me that I could come to this bookstore, and here's this little bookstore guy who looked like my dad, even with a British accent. And it made me feel safe. And like, there was something about that that was really comforting for me. What about you? What do you think about signs?
I definitely see, I feel like I see the most through like numbers. Like, something I see, okay, a lot is like 17. My sister's birthday is March 17th. So I do see 317 a lot, like when I look at the, mm-hmm, clock, or even like sometimes like my emails, like they'll be 17. Like, I see 17 or 317 a lot. So I do, and sometimes I feel like when I'm thinking something, like, it's almost like a confirmation. Like, even right now when we were talking about a story, when I just like looked at the clock and it said 3:17, like, yeah, when I just looked. So I see that as a sign from my sister. I also do see the clock at like 11:11 a lot. And they do say that's like the angel sign, kind of like, mm-hmm, people, like angels are thinking of you. I also see like 2:25 or 25 a lot, which is my birthday, which I feel like is also them kind of a confirmation, like those numbers, because I see them so frequently when I like feel the need to look at a clock. I do, yeah, see those numbers really often, and so I just like don't think that's random, because I also feel like sometimes like it's usually also when I'm like always thinking about something, or like a thought crosses my mind. I feel like it's almost like confirmation support of ideas and stuff, because they were those people for me. So I kind of always take it as that, like, because it's like happens so frequently that I'm like, I don't know. I just like, I can't take it as like not anything. Like, I do see it pretty frequently. Other times that I've seen it, like, started getting really into traveling and practice and like always researching where to go and like food and like being very the planner because of my sister. That's how my sister was. Like when I'd visit her in New York, she would like, we would eat at like 10 places in a day. Like she had a plan for everything. And it really made me appreciate.
She would have loved
like,
the bear.
Yeah, I always hear that. She probably would have really loved the bear. But that, and it's funny because, what's that guy's name? He was a chef that turned into like a travel, Anthony Bourdain.
Oh yeah, Anthony Bourdain.
So she loved Anthony Bourdain. She like went to go see him. And I was in Mexico City, and because now I do love traveling, I do love like, you know, planning. And so, and one thing I also like doing is going to bookstores when I travel. And
me too, girl.
So I was traveling and we were at a bookstore and something caught my eye. It was an Anthony Bourdain book, but it was like, I think someone writing it for him, like after he passed away already. And the author's name was Lori and it was spelled like my sister's name. Oh. And so I also took that as a sign, like, cause I saw it and I'm like, it's just like a random sign for my sister. And I did buy the book, not then because I didn't have room in my suitcase, but I did buy it later on. But it was just like a kind of like, I felt like it was a sign for my sister. Like it was randomly a book that caught my eye.
Yeah.
And the author had her name and I was like, oh, that's like a nice thing. So both through like signs and stuff. I feel like another one that felt significant was after my sister's celebration of life, a bunch of her friends and stuff were in town. So we went to their like Airbnb, I think, or wherever they're staying. And we were just talking and telling, like, you know, sharing stories with my sister till like 3 or so a.m., like pretty late. And the one song that I really kind of clung to when my sister passed away was the Ed Sheeran song, Our Love. Like, I think it's called like Photograph, or like the line is like, our love is in a photograph. And it just like that line really stuck with me because it's like all I had now was like photographs of her and, you know, memories. And for her celebration of life, we went through so many photos and stuff. So that kind of was like the song that stuck to me. And it was like 3:30 a.m. And like as soon as me and my brother sat in the car, he turned on the car. And we had sat in the car for like a few minutes too, because kind of just like decompressing, you know, it was just some celebration of life. It was just, it was a lot. And as soon as my brother started the car, the song that was playing was, you know, Our Love Is in a Photograph, the Ed Sheeran song. And so I feel like my sister is pretty strong with her signs and kind of being around, which is very much confirmed also by like the psychic medium is, you know, he's like, she's always around. She likes being very active in our lives. So I think there are so many signs. I do want, sounds great, like I do want more signs. I feel like I always see people like saying, you know, my loved one sent me this person, or like they sent me my husband or something. And like, I would like to feel that confirmation also, because it's like, they'll never meet who I end up marrying, you know?
Yeah.
But I also don't know, like, how do you know that's a sign from them? I can know that they're sending them to you. So I like to think that they sent me Jameson. So, because he's the best.
Jameson is our executive producer for the podcast.
Yes, Jameson Dwyer. He's very official. I would like to think that they sent me him. And here for everyone.
A guest appearance.
Oh, God.
For those listening at home,
you can't.
For we have a giant labradoodle, golden doodle on screen.
Yes. Oh. So if you're, he's the executive producer and he's the love of my life.
He has the sweetest puppy dog eyes I've ever seen.
I didn't just I know wire, so I missed the.
Our studio is wrecked.
But I do like to think that they sent him to me because he is the perfect. Very sweet, loving boy. So, but yeah, I don't know other signs. Like, I don't know if I need to be more open to them or be. I saw people say, like, they ask for a very specific sign. I'm always scared to ask for that, though.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with me, too, is, like, I'm really open to it, and I would love it for it to happen, but I'm also like, am I ready? am I ready to receive that? Am I going to freak out? Because I don't want to be like, yeah, I can handle it. And then actually be like, I'm freaked out.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, what to ask for as a sign or like, yeah, I don't know what kind of confirmation I need. But yeah, I, one day I will feel bold enough to do that. Because I know people do that. I always see people post about, I asked for, if this is the right thing, like, show me this or whatever. And I know people also do that, like, when they're praying, but I think of it more like in spirits right now. But
yeah,
yeah, I'm a little hesitant to ask for that, but maybe one day I'll feel bold enough to take that leap to do that, but it's a little scary. Yeah. I can't be let down either, but I don't know if I'm just not paying attention sometimes for all the signs that it could be. But it is crazy. And it just, I think you never think so much about ghosts and signs until you have people pass away. And
yeah,
you just want to be connected to them in any which way. Mm-hmm. But the guy, I think I mentioned, he did say writing. So if anyone is listening and wants to connect or feels connected to them, maybe try writing to them in a journal, like writing to them like they're here. Or you really need to talk to them. I would try that. Also, sometimes I just talk to them out loud. Like, sometimes you just need to, like, say it out loud. So I do that as well. Do you ever talk to your dad? Like, try to talk to him in a way?
Yeah. I feel like it's on car rides. I don't know why being in the car all car of a sudden rides, much more emotional. Like,
road trips.
They're wilder. Yeah, it was like the only time I would cry about this would when I would get into my car. And I don't know if there's something about like coming away from some other event and then getting in your car and you're kind of like decompressing. You're like, oof, that's a lot. But same thing. I haven't like had this realism or epiphany or anything, but like I'm so open to it. And I think like also I'm scared to hear what he might say, be like, oh, you're really messing up everything. Like, I'm sure that my dad was not like that at all. But other than anything, the only thing I want to hear like so badly is just like, I'm proud of you. You've done a good job. Like, I know it's been hard, but you did everything you could type of thing. Sometimes I have like, since I was my dad's power of attorney and his medical person, and I had to like deal with a lot of the, as you and I call it, like the logistical grief. I do like wonder, like, did I make the right choice? Like, should I have actually gone through with having that procedure, or should I have not agreed to that procedure? Like, there was just so much. And I remember something, I mean, this is actually, it was really sad at the time, but I am happy this was advised to me, because if you had asked me before the situation, I would have had a very different answer. But my dad was also in a coma for a period of time in his hospital stint. And the doctor, one of the doctors in the hospital, called me one night. And he's like, I think at this point, he just needs to be put out of his misery. It's kind of selfish that you're not going to allow him to have a peaceful death. And kind of.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty abrasive, and it stunned me. I was like, am I not looking for, like, I thought I was. I thought I was supposed to be making the best decisions for my dad. And like, I obviously want to keep him alive. Like, I put so much effort and time and money. Are they supposed to be saying that?
I feel like they're not supposed to be saying that.
Probably not, but it was definitely like his advice of like, he's not going to get any better. So you need to pull the plug on this. I don't know. I don't think he was technically on like life support, but he was on a ventilator. And I wonder if it was because this was also during COVID and ventilators were like a high demand. And I wonder he was like, this is a waste of resources on your dad that could be given to someone who actually needs it type of thing. And I don't,
that's
just speculation.
I mean,
yeah.
They were in crazy need, so
it was crazy time. I agree. Like, it was very unusual, unorthodox situation. So I'm that is when I think about it, that's the context I'm thinking of. Could it be something else? Absolutely. I'm not sure. But I remember thinking, like, do I? Like, like, is that the best choice for my father in the long run, is pulling that plug? And I remember thinking, like, I just wish he could tell me what he wants. Like, is it more peaceful for him? Because he had always said in the past that, like, he had signed a DNR. He had, he said, like, if he was ever in that position, he wouldn't want to stay alive anymore. But then he would still have these moments of clarity and cognizant. And I still couldn't, I couldn't just let it go, knowing there was still a little bit of, like, mental activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I called my uncle and was like, this is what the doctor told me, and I'm not sure what to do. And I'm just, I was obviously distraught, because that's just not news anybody wants to hear. And my uncle's like, no, we're going to hold out on having hope on this to the very end. He's like, we are going to hope for the best until the very end. And he's like, I'm glad he told me that, because I think now, if I had made that decision to, like, pull the plug, I think I would have harbored a lot of guilt about that. And I am glad that I tried every, like, I exhausted everything I could to ensure that possibly my dad would stay alive. And at the end, he didn't. And, but now I know I did everything I absolutely could, kind of thing. And not that that has anything to do with, like, signs or metaphysical or ghosts, but it was kind of one of those things, like, I think that moment, if I made a very different decision, would have haunted me today. Not saying that my dad would have haunted me, but, like, my own
decision. Yeah.
And, yeah, my own decision would have haunted me for the rest of my life if I did decide it. Even if it's the more, I don't know, more ethical or humane way to go. Like, I don't judge anybody for making a very different decision. It's very personal, obviously.
Yeah. It's very hard. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
It's very touch and go. I mean, I would say, like, even for the doctors, when my sister was in the coma, like, they were like, oh, she's probably not going to wake up. Like,
yeah.
They were very negative about her waking up. Or, like, and so they weren't giving, I don't know if it's, like, they were trying to make it realistic or, like, you know, whatever. And it wasn't 2020, so it wasn't like that was a reason where for resources. They just, like, were very, yeah, very pessimistic, and, like, basically telling us, like, they didn't think she was gonna wake up, and she did. And, you know, we got her for, like, 2 more years. And so I think you do have to just trust your gut, and, like,
yeah,
you know, sometimes they're not looking out for you, unfortunately. And yeah, had we done something and shortened her life at all, like, I'll freaking haunt the doctors. Like, I'll come back and, you know, I'll freaking do it as a freaking living person, you know? So I think it's, yeah, you don't want that. You don't want to, I think, you don't even want to have that lingering, or, like, I don't think you want to have to go to, like, a second medium to get those answers, because you feel like you did it. I think going to something like a second medium is just kind of nice to, like, know that there's a way that they can still communicate to you or, like, maybe even notice, reaffirm, like, they're around in some way. I think that's kind of a nice way to do it. I don't think you could put all of your cards in, you know, like, you can't expect that, like, you're gonna get this, you can't expect that it's gonna go the exact way that you want it to go, because they are, it is spirits, it is a weird thing, you know. So I think you can't expect that it's gonna give you exactly what you need, but I think it is, like, it's a nice outlet, something to try. But yeah, definitely, I mean, in those situations, like, it definitely makes it harder, where you feel like you need to get answers if you, like, had made the decision to, like, unplug your dad first because the doctor was pushing for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think if it was a different decision, I probably would have gone to a psychic medium a lot sooner, being like, did I make the right choice? Are you mad at me? Do you forgive me, type of thing? Like, I would be in a different headspace for that.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, thank goodness you had your uncle and kind of was like a sounding board to try everything. Because you never know. There's so much technology and science, but it's like, at the end of the day, a lot of it, I don't know if it's luck, if it's whatever. I don't know. It's a lot of randomness. You just don't really know why, how things work out, how they do. But yeah, I mean, had we listened, like, I'd be haunting him to this day as a living, like, you know, because it's like, you don't know what would happen. And sounds crazy. Yeah, don't always listen. They also, I mean, a story that like is way early on is my mom had, when my mom was pregnant with my sister, they told my sister that she was mentally disabled and that they, at that time, I don't know if that was like what they recommended that she abort my sister. Like, I don't know if that was the protocol before, uh-huh. but they recommended she abort my sister. And my mom was like, no, like, you know, however she comes out, I'm going to love her. And thankfully, my sister had like, you know, nothing was wrong. Like, she didn't have any mental disabilities. So it's just crazy because it's like, we've been tested with that multiple times. And
yeah,
she pushed through. So at least then, not at the end, but
yeah,
at least multiple times where she proved them wrong. So. Not that that was the focus of our episode, but, you know, go with your gut, guys. With everything.
Yeah,
even
go with your gut.
With your signs and your dreams and everything. I guess always trust yourself is the end note, yeah. I guess, of what we're going. It all focuses back to you. Be open, but trust yourself and verify things.
Yeah, I think, same thing. My dad ended up coming out of the coma. So that was another thing of like, thank God I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Make that choice. I think another thing, like before we wrap, talking about signs, I think I was thinking like in a physical sense of signs, but now that I'm like you kind of talking, kind of spurred, like I have seen signs within people. So like when my dad was in the hospital, I was so angsty and upset and I went and got my nose pierced because I kind of was in this headspace of like, no one can tell me I can't. So the day I got my nose pierced,
Do you still have a nose piercing?
Not anymore. I took it out this year, but yeah, I did have a nose piercing for a while. I stopped off at a gas station and there's a man outside the gas station who he was homeless. He looked like Willie Nelson. And I don't know what happened, if I had like gotten him a water or if I had given him like a dollar bill or something. I'm not sure, but he and I ended up talking and I was just such in a sad place in life and I was so angry at the world and I was just not in a happy place. And I met this man and just the way he was talking about life and his joy, it just reminded me so much of my dad. And then he offered to like pump up the air in my tire and I was like, sir, you don't need to do that. That's kind of you to offer, but you certainly don't need to pump up the air in my tire. And so this homeless man who has not much, obviously, to give, he gives me like his bandana and he felt so strongly about giving me his like little bandana. And I just, it was such like a little random act of kindness that just like for that moment, I was like, oh, that reminds me of my dad, like in a sense of like the kindness you spread in the world. And so like I see these moments in people and I think like when talking about signs, I see that a lot more of, I don't know, the random acts of kindness people do.
I think they can show up in so many ways. I mean, there's so much we don't understand, but I definitely think stuff like that, I'm sure like they can kind of come out through different people or you know, show up in different ways. You know, I don't think it's as clear as people say it's like you're living and then you're dead. I definitely feel like there's some blurred lines with how things happen. Something not, well, I can't speak on, but I've just read stories and seen videos of like people that are like reincarnated and like they can speak about their previous lives and they're like kids that are like super young, so they wouldn't know
about that.
Like, they went, and so it's crazy. And I'm seeing stuff like that, and it's like, that's another one where I'm like, I have no idea how that works, but it baffles me. Like how that works. Like that's crazy. I haven't experienced that, so I can't. Yeah, if anyone has experienced that or knows of a story, please share it with us because I would love to hear.
Yes, we want to hear from you. Tell us in the comments somewhere.
Yeah, please let us know and comment on you can comment on this episode, actually. If you're Spotify, you can comment on Spotify or comment on our Instagram or TikTok or YouTube channel.
On our YouTube.
Yeah. Email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. We'd love to hear it.
Tell us your spooky stories. We want to hear them.
Yes. Your signs, your dreams. Like, also share that. We'd love to hear that. Yeah.
Psychic mediums. If you've done it, we want to hear about it. If you know good ones, also let us
recommendations.
Know.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah, Kendall's open to it now. So
I'm open to it
now. Let us know. Let us know. We want the tea.
Should we dive into our challenge?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So like every episode, we have a weekly challenge for you. And this week's weekly challenge is to try something a little bit unconventional to perhaps help you in your healing or help you through your grief. Do you have an idea of what you're going to do in response to this challenge, Rachel?
I feel like something that kind of helps is taking on new hobbies. And I've been seeing a lot about junk journaling.
And love that.
I definitely am someone that collects stickers and all these little things. So
me too.
I definitely am going to try that because I think trying new hobbies and kind of anything creative or anything fun like that, I think always helps your brain. I think it can kind of like boost your mental health too and just kind of keeps you busy. So I think that's something that people wouldn't necessarily see as helping with your grief. But I think sometimes like grief is so weird and there's not like one way to fix grief. Like everybody's different what they want. And sometimes you just really need to like bring, like I would say, like you need to bring joy back into your life. And one way that has been working for me is like trying new hobbies. And so that's for me is like, I've been seeing it. I think I have most supplies anyway. And I am a perpetual like journal buyer and abandoner. So I definitely have a ton of journals that I can use and finally get some use out of. So I am going to this weekend start junk journaling. What
that
about you?
Is
what
are you going to so try? So fun.
You should try it with me. I love
junk journaling.
Yeah.
I will. But
you
I love
compare
your
like, junk journals.
Let's do it. Loved your idea earlier about journaling, like having a journal for your sister too. Like that is such a, I mean, if anything, like, not only to connect with your sister if she is reading them and like that's bringing her like so much love and connection with everybody who like she's friends with and you in her life or her, you know, after spiritual life. But I just think that's such a like also such a healing thing to do. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. Like I want to have a journal to my dad's for him, something to read.
It's nice. But my therapeutic.
Little, yeah. And I think that's like such a like easy way to like one get the grief off your chest and onto a page and you know out of your body, but also like to think, oh, if my dad reads this, like I think that's just so sweet, little notes that you leave to each other. So I definitely want to try that for myself. But I'm not a mega super religious type of person, but I am going on a Jesuit retreat next month. And so I guess I can update when I do that and tell you about that experience. I'm excited and nervous at the same time because this is something so out of what I would normally do. I was like interested. Oh, and I also saw it in Fleabag. And so then I was like, she did it. I'll do it.
Is there like yoga involved or like
they haven't really put the itinerary up. I hope it's not like cleaning the monastery like she did in Fleabag where she's just like scrubbing the stone floors. But it's, I don't know, it looks like a beautiful grounds. It looks very like peaceful and holistic and something I'm always looking to like try a new experience or have a new perspective. And I think I'm really hoping it'll be good for me. So I'm excited. I'll share what that was like when it happens. And that is my little unconventional thing that I'm going to try.
That reminds me, I am going to a woman's retreat in November, actually.
Yeah.
And it's called like the Petite Pause. And that is actually in Maine. And it's like in a farm thing. And I think there's going to be like yoga and like massages and like farmed table food. There's like saunas. So I'm not exactly sure the full itinerary, but it also overlaps. It's going to be during my mom's birthday. And so I wanted to kind of do something this year for my mom's birthday or like just kind of be in a good space. Yeah. So I booked that retreat and I've never been on, I don't think I've ever been on a, like an adult retreat that wasn't like work related or something.
Yeah.
So I'm also excited for that. Like for some reason the petite pause just felt like very what I need.
Yeah. So. That sounds like so much fun. I want to hear about that when you do it.
Also, Noah Kahn. Because I pronounce the name. Have you heard of him?
Yes, love him.
Yeah. So, I mean, he sings about Vermont, but because of, like, his music, I've just been, like, way more interested in that whole area.
Yeah, so, New England and everything.
Yeah. So, I've been wanting to go to Maine, so I'm definitely going to go try some lobsters and stuff. Maine lobster on there. But
that sounds incredible.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is the year being very, like, proactive about my grief and, you know, figuring out what works and what I need and
you really making moves too.
So
like
I've been doing a lot actually.
You have
doing a lot of things. And it's been really nice. Yeah. I mean I've been doing volleyball on the weekends. I've been doing a cookbook club.
You made bread that one day?
I make bread pretty frequently.
She's a bread maker. She's a breadwinner.
Yeah. I've been doing a bunch of things to just stick. I feel like bring back joy and like be more social and just like, yeah, I feel like there's been a lot. It's like if something's not making you happy or something that you want to do, like I'm a very like proactive person when I want to be like, and I can be.
You are.
And so, I mean, also like the dinner club and stuff like that's twice a month. So, and hosting that, it's really great for, you know, I think our group's really great. So, but I mean, obviously things like that, they do take work. To keep doing and keep organizing. But yeah, so I've been very active with the things I've been doing. So the retreat was actually one of the first things I booked for this year. But
really? Yeah,
so before I even had been doing any of this stuff. But yeah, I have been. Yeah, it's been a year of change. So, and I'm excited. And this, honestly, this podcast has been super healing and like fun to do, and I feel like we've also been connecting with so many other people in the grief space and
yeah
learning a lot from other people too, so I think that's also been really great. So I'm just excited to see like what else comes from doing this. It's been fun.
Yeah, before we get into the rest of like the end of the show, like we would not have a podcast if it wasn't for Rachel and all her hard work on the back end. Honestly, you do so much for this, and I'm just like happy to be a part of it.
It's been a group effort, but yeah, I mean, it's been good. Without Kendall, I think it's just been so much easier because honestly, it's been something I've been wanting to do, but I think it didn't feel right. And then for some reason, I mean, we only had met like 3 times or something, I think, before I asked you. Maybe not even 3 times. It might have been like 2 times, like once in the training and like twice than
the actual. Yeah,
so it wasn't even that long before, and then I've been thinking about already doing the podcast, and for some reason I was like, I feel like Kendall would be like the perfect co-host. And I feel like we're just like in the same space, and it just, I think it's been working out really well. So
the quote-unquote like elders and the group with
our grief, and yeah, I just feel like it made sense, and it's been working really well. And I feel like we've been developing just like a good friendship from it as well.
I agree.
And I've never talked about grief this much in my whole entire life.
Or me either.
So it's been nice. It's been like, so, I mean, very much so, like, even with our challenge, try something unconventional. We've been doing unconventional things for ourselves to do it. And I feel like we've been feeling so much better because of it. So,
yeah.
See, like, you know, learn from us. We are learning.
Yeah, it's taken we're learning. A
while, but we've been doing good things for our grief. So, yeah, learn from our mistakes, but also the good things that we've done through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, you and I both, we both admire all the people in the group who identified so early on that they were like, I need a place to talk about this. Whereas, like, you and I waited years to come to that realization. We're like, maybe we should be talking about this with somebody.
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, I don't even know how long the dinner club's been alive for or existed, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's been really nice. And I think also having that kind of different perspective, I think, is also helpful for people that have are more recent in their grief and kind of having a perspective. That's yeah. like an elder in grief. I don't know. But I think it does help to kind of see people in different. I don't think there are clear five stages of grief. Like, I don't, I think that's, I feel like you're kind of in a lot of them at the same time. But I feel like when I say stages of grief, I just kind of mean that we're a little past a few things, but not, I don't have a clear space that I refer to us in. And I'm not referring to like the five stages of grief when I say that. Just we're in a different stage. I'm not defining it. We're just, we're kind of, I feel like we're in a different place.
For the most part. So. Well, and if you are listening and looking for more resources, you can find them in the show notes. And as always, we are releasing an episode every Tuesday. So we're on episode 5. And
yes.
I'm pretty proud of that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Episode 5. We're moving along. And so if you don't follow us, please follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Two Girls with Grief Pod. Also, you can email us. We'd love to hear your challenges from any of the episodes. Or if you have any questions that you would like us to try to answer or just share our opinion, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. All this information will be in the show notes. And as a reminder, grief looks different for everybody. So if nothing we said resonates with you, doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. Doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. It just means that everyone's different and kind of processes it. So... as always, have a good day, and we will see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone.